And what is one of the shortest passages of Scripture, one of the shortest verses in God's Word, is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. And I said it again wrong. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. If you can work through my misidentification, find that with me. It is a simple verse that you've heard before. It simply says, pray without ceasing. We've been emphasizing prayer, not merely prayer, but the act of practical praying over the last several weeks. And we're going to do that. In fact, you're going to hear about prayer from now until maybe Jesus comes. Because Jesus said it was his desire that his house be a house of prayer. And so often I think we come short of that. And so in these days, I want us to be very practical about what it means to pray. And I'm going to bring it back to you over the next months. One of the things we're doing is praying for our neighbors. If you've not already made that commitment, you're not already involved in that, won't you please embrace that as the will of God in your life right now, to identify by name your neighbors, whether they're in your physical neighborhood or whether they're the people you work with, or perhaps, like for me, you've come to understand they're both, and to pray for those on a daily basis, asking God to work within their lives. Let that be an outflow of your relationship and your growing maturity in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? A couple of years ago, I was in Berlin, and as I toured the city, as I walked through the city looking at so many of the sites of the Reformation and preaching there at the International Baptist Church there in the heart of Berlin, I visited a cathedral. This particular cathedral happened to be a Catholic cathedral. But there are two cathedrals in Berlin. One is a majestic, huge European cathedral, but it's the evangelical cathedral. It's almost the state cathedral that sits and opens to everyone and says, come, let's have some state event. And then in another part of the city, very close to the university campus, just behind the big plaza where the books were burned by the Nazis, there is a much more modern, smaller Catholic cathedral. It's a unique building. I'm really big into church architecture, and so you walk into it, it's very round, and the main worship center is on the floor level, the ground level, but as you come toward the altar, there are two circular staircases, large circular staircases that surround the altar and go down into the basement, where you find multiple small chapels, as you do in so many Catholic churches and cathedrals in Europe. And as I walked around looking at this site and taking in the architecture and the beauty of the windows and those kinds of things, I walked down into the basement, and there in the very back, there was a woman. And in one of the small chapels that was open, the altar being over here, the wall here, she continually was doing this, walking, counting, I believe, her steps to the altar and back. And as she did so, she was speaking. And perhaps, though I do not remember for sure, she had her rosary. And back and forth in agony, she was praying prayers of penitence. Words over and over, perhaps for herself or for her family, for her children, for someone who was already dead and gone. She was spending, and I know I was in there probably an hour, and she had been going long before I came, and my sense is she was going long after, seeking to entreat God somehow to bring some measure of payment to the Lord for someone in order that their punishment might be relieved. And I've got to tell you, watching the scene and knowing how Jesus has already paid the price for us and opened the gates of heaven to us by his blood, and there's nothing we can add to that or take away for that, my heart was in agony for her and her anguish. at trying to somehow please God. That is not what it means to pray without ceasing. In fact, when I see that, I think of the Lord's words in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, that says, "When you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." I'm not saying something negative about this dear woman who was seeking to please God, but what I want to say to you is the sacrifice that opens the door of heaven for your prayer has already been made. And though I would you to anguish in prayer sometimes, not in the sense that you think you are working to make God pleased. Here's the deal. Prayer without ceasing. Let me be very practical. There are two types of praying without ceasing. Let me just lay them out for you. One would be what I would call formal prayer. And formal prayer would be like corporate prayer. As I just did when I led you in pastoral prayer, and I hope that you bowed your head and you were involved in that prayer with me, so that at the end of that prayer, you could say with all of your heart, "I agree with that, God, and I bring my heart before the throne with that pastoral prayer with the words, Amen, so be it." That's formal, corporate prayer. There's another place for formal prayer, and I believe it's very important, and that is that in your own devotional time, as you come before the Lord, I think there's a place for a more formal type of prayer, because in our day, we get totally imbalanced, and I've said before, and I'll say to you again, though God invites you to come, and one of the proofs of your salvation is you come to God in prayer, there's this sense of wanting to cry out to God the Father, to Abba, to Daddy. You may call him Abba, don't call him Bubba. There should always be in your coming to God, even though it's personal and intimate, and even though he's opened the doors to you, there should be some form, some sense of the awe that is the nature of God in his holiness and humility in you as that door is opened. If you weren't here last Sunday, please take time to go to the internet or stop by the office and get a copy of last week's sermon when we talked about prayer as praise and understand a little more in the depth of that. Formal prayer. There's another type of prayer that I want you to see, and that is not merely this corporate prayer that we see in the Old Testament and at the temple and as we hear in the New Testament at the synagogue, but also there's conversational prayer. There's the more informal prayer. What marks conversational prayer? Well, I'd simply say to you that it's marked by informality in place and time. And so I don't want you to get hung up that I'm not in church and I'm not at my quiet time place and therefore I cannot pray, because as much as there is within the Scripture that formal prayer where we come to God in the midst of the awesomeness of worship, corporate worship or private worship, as much as that is found in the Scripture, there's also the anguish of Job, who simply cries out to God. Or David, as he sings songs to God in the less formal Psalms. Or others who just simply talk to God. Anytime, any place, this is where I am, I can pray. That's a neat way to pray. I call it conversational as opposed to formal. It is informal in it, formal. It's informal in its place and in its time. And it's normal in its tone and its language. And so I might come before God leading you in prayer in very formal language and tone. Maybe not King James, but more formal, because we are conscious of our place before God. But I also talk to God like, "God, man, wow, I need you right now." Not very formal, just a cry to God. Or as I'm driving down the road, "Lord, man, what a beautiful day." Not real formal, just normal, okay?
And so those two types of prayer are central within the Christian's life and all to be a part of who we are, both formal and informal, essential to the Christian life. It's not ever to be ritualistic. And that doesn't have anything to do with the form we take, or even if you're finding the prayers in your devotion and reading that prayer to God. The decision about whether it's prayer or ritual really comes from your heart, not from its formality or informality, its spontaneity, or its written form. Remember the parrot with the dirty mouth. I know I've told you the story before, but David received the parrot for his birthday. Parrot was fully grown when he got the parrot and apparently had been in somebody else's house that had a really bad attitude and a really bad vocabulary, and every other word was an expletive. They weren't just expletives, they were rude. And David tried hard to change the bird's attitude. You know, he chastised the bird and he talked to the bird and he constantly was saying polite words to the bird, hoping the bird would pick up his polite words, but it never happened. And one day, after a particularly terrible incident in which a neighbor had come by and the bird had just let loose as if he had been, well, I would say, you know, a sailor, but that would be doing injustice to the sailor. David got mad, took the bird, threw him in the freezer, left him there, and then finally began to feel bad about the bird in the freezer after the bird had for a while kicked and screamed and squawked and then went quiet. David got a little scared, opened the freezer door, took out the parrot, and the parrot calmly stepped onto David's arm and said to David, "I believe I may have offended you with my rude language and actions, and I will endeavor to correct my behavior. I really, truly am sorry and beg your forgiveness." And David was astonished. Change in attitude, the bird's behavior, and he was about to ask, "What made such a dramatic change?" When the parrot said, "May I ask you, what did the chicken do?" C.S. Lewis said, "Simply to say prayers is not to pray. Simply to say prayers is not to pray. Otherwise, a team of properly trained parrots would serve as well as men." Prayer isn't about certain words said a certain number of times, or we could just say it, duplicate it on our computers, and let it run all the time. That's not prayer. Now, there are two times for prayer without ceasing. The Bible says pray without ceasing. So when should you pray? One, you should pray forever. Christians are praying people. Prayer is as much a part of being a Christian as a heartbeat is part of being a human being. Prayer is worship. As such, it is an integral part of what it means to know God. If you do not pray, not sure you know God. Prayer is important, and it should be carried on from the time you become a Christian until the day you enter into heaven. And then I'm going to tell you, prayer as praise and worship will continue through all of eternity. Forever and ever and ever. And it brings up a question. Why do people quit praying? Why do people begin to pray and quit praying? I want to tell you there are four reasons I can think of. One, disappointment. Sometimes because we get disappointed in God's answer to our prayer, or we get disappointed that God didn't answer our prayer when we wanted him to answer our prayer. There are people I meet who just quit praying. I used to pray. I don't do it anymore. I'm not sure it has any good. Secondly, I think because of discouragement. Something happens within our lives and we get mad at God, or we're just discouraged because of the situation around us. And for some reason, Satan tricks us into thinking that the answer to that, instead of praying more and worshiping more, is to just quit praying. God didn't want us to do that. Can I tell you another reason, and really, it may overwhelm these other two or bring about the other two, and that is sin. Because of sin within our lives, we have the sense that we can't go before God. We think that God has not taken care of that sin in Christ. And when we sin without repentance, we know, just like if God were another person and we continue to slap that person in the face, it'd be hard to come have a conversation with them. When there is sin that is resident in our lives and we're not taking care of it, we're not convicted of it, we're not turning away from it, man, we don't want to face God. To face God with sin in our lives, man, it just brings too much anxiety. Fourthly, it may very well be, and please listen to me, that there's a lack of salvation in your life. I'm not saying you don't believe in God. That's not salvation. I'm not saying you hadn't joined a church. That's not salvation. But if there is no stirring in your soul that seeks to call God Father and come before Him in prayer, then you need to check and see if you've ever really embraced God, or more importantly, whether you've allowed God to embrace you. For God calls you to begin a life of prayer when you are saved and continue it forever. Secondly, that's one time for prayer, forever, but the other is always. And that's the heart of our verse here. When it says, pray without ceasing, it means start praying. Not necessarily in that formal way, and certainly not as the dear lady who was walking back and forth seeking to do penance in some way, letting prayer be a work of making payment and sacrifice to God, but pray like people talk. Prayer is a conversation that begins in the morning and ends only when you go to sleep. And in my life, usually it ends with me going to sleep, because I'm talking to the Lord and saying something to the Lord, and finally rest comes and I've fallen asleep talking to Jesus. It begins in the morning when I get up and look and go, wow, Lord, look at the day. And I'm still alive and it's before me. You pray in this way conversationally throughout life. A believer is a praying man or woman. That's what he or she is. And so you begin to pray and you just keep praying. And so in my car, I'm praying. It's a conversation as I go along. And as I head down the road, it's, Lord, thank you for this day. Man, it's beautiful. Lord, thank you that that person didn't just hit me. Thank you, Lord. Man, it changes everything when somebody cuts you off and almost causes you to wreck, and you realize your life, instead of looking out the window and yelling, you idiot, you look up to God and say, God bless that idiot. And it changes everything. But you understand what I mean? Would you change your world? Then pray. Would you see a loved one saved? Then I say to you, pray. Would you see your church reach its city for Christ? Your neighbors come to Christ? Then pray. Would you know the sweetness of God's heart? Pray. Would you take part in the kingdom's victory? Pray. Would you want your marriage restored? Pray. Would you seek to find peace in your heart? Pray. Lord Alfred Tennyson wrote, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Wherefore, let thy voice rise like a fountain and pray. Let me give you two reasons to pray, and we'll be through. One is simply to let God know your heart. To reveal your heart to God. I know God knows everything. I really do. But when you come to God in prayer, you quit talking about the omnipotence and majesty of God in the sense that He knows everything, and you've entered into relationship with God. And what God wants in prayer is not a telegram from you, but a loving conversation over a cup of coffee. That relationship in which I come and say, God, this is where I am. This is what's going on with me. And there's an interaction that takes place there when we talk to God, when we come before Him in prayer, that reveals our heart. And I got to tell you, it's not just an emotional level, but are you growing in Christ? Because your prayer life reveals more about where you are in your maturity with the Lord Jesus Christ than probably anything else. And so one reason we pray is reveal our heart to God. But let me give you another reason, and that is to reveal God's heart to you. I don't know how it happens. Not exactly. But
oh, I'm sorry, I was saying hey to my wife.
But you know, that's not nearly as fulfilling. It's when she sits across from me and I can hold her hand and look into her eyes and we just talk. And the reality is there is a heart exchange that takes place that is beyond words, in which hearts are revealed and depth is achieved and love is enhanced and time stands still and nothing else matters. When we get to real prayer with God, it's the same thing. And God's heart beyond mere words or teachings becomes part of our lives. Without ceasing, what does it mean? It means that you are to pray for a lifetime, never letting the busyness of your schedule or the laziness of your heart become an excuse. Prayer without ceasing. Times of formal prayer and devotional prayer, set apart times are important, but also just a conversation with God that begins in the morning and ends with sleep. That's what God desires. And I got to tell you, if you sense an emptiness in your heart with God, it's the cry that tells you that's what you desire as well. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Will you bow with me as we pray? Father, I thank you. Again, I am so conscious of the fact that I can't bow before you in prayer except for what Jesus has done. And yet in that, I am so thankful that he has paid the price completely and you have invited me to know you and you know me. Lord, there are some within this room and certainly some watching by television this morning who do not know you in that way. They know about you. There may be church members, but they don't know you. They need to be saved. We can put it in 1,000 different words before you, Father, but we come and entreat you to work in their lives so that they might make a decision to receive Jesus. And Father, there are many in this room who just need to realize how much you love them and how fulfilling is a conversation with you. Make us, Lord, a church of people who pray without ceasing. Jesus, be praised. Amen. Stand with me as we sing. And perhaps you would come and give your heart to Jesus. I and some others would be here if you want to come and receive him. Won't you come and say, I just want to know Jesus. I want to know that God you've been talking about so informally because I thought he was somewhere and I could never know him. Do you need your sins forgiven? Do you want to know Jesus? Come this morning. Let us show you. You know him today. Maybe you need to make this your church home. You come as we sing. Perhaps you'd come and pray. Whatever God leads you.